It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The Alabama Supreme Court ruled last week that frozen embryos, like those used in vitro fertilization, are people. The ruling is a result of appeals cases brought by couples whose frozen embryos were destroyed by a hospital patient back in 2020. The court's opinion states that frozen embryos are children, and the couples therefore have the right to file wrongful death suits. Fertility clinics aren't sure what to do in the wake of the ruling, which does not specify whether the standard operating procedure for IVF, which includes creating and freezing many embryos, is still legal. Alabama's largest hospital has paused IVF treatments in the meantime, and there are questions about what this means for abortion law and more. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions, your questions, maybe your experiences if you've gone through in vitro fertilization. It's 800-642-1234. Susan Liebel is professor of political science at St. Joseph's University. Susan, welcome back to Central Time.
Glad to be here, Rob.
Susan, you've read through the opinion on this case. What leaps out at you?
Well, this is a case about extending constitutional rights to embryos and really about establishing fetal personhood. It's radically Christian, and this should alert all Americans to the power of state courts. The 2022 Supreme Court Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade enabled Alabama's court to radically declare that embryos, some only 8 cells or 1/10 of a millimeter, are people with rights. It's the first ruling of its kind, and it would have, as you said, radical implications for IVF, but also for birth control, rape treatments like Plan B, and the equality of women and all pregnant people. This case is a step towards a constitutional framework that would radically assume that an embryo or fetus is a person, and their rights may or must be weighed against other persons, particularly pregnant people, something that Justice Alito called for in his Dobbs opinion.
Alabama's Chief Justice Tom Parker wrote in his opinion, even before birth, all human beings have the image of God, and their lives cannot be destroyed without effacing his glory. And the quote there, you just mentioned, Susan, definitely a Christian, a particular variety of Christian take on this. Your thoughts on the role of this particular interpretation of religion in shaping this decision?
Yeah, a lot of the media has presented it as if Chief Justice Parker's decision is the majority decision. It isn't. It is only him speaking for himself, and there are other judges who found it objectionable. But what he is doing is inappropriately relying on Christian religious principles, quoting Thomas Aquinas and John Calvin. The U.S. Constitution's First Amendment prohibits governments from making any law respecting an establishment of religion, but it also prohibits government from unduly favoring one religion. And what Chief Justice Parker is doing is establishing Christianity as the guide for law in Alabama. We've seen groups try to challenge this in Florida. A synagogue sued over Florida law that they believe took away their religious liberty to make decisions that their religion calls for that are different, that don't believe that life begins at conception in the same way. So I think there are establishment of religion issues here, and also potentially taking away religious liberty from people who have different beliefs.
Let's bring on a caller. Tim is with us in New Berlin. Tim, hi.
Hi. Yes. My question is, or what I heard just a couple of hours ago on the radio, was that the Alabama Attorney General stated that they were not going to prosecute under this Supreme Court, Alabama Supreme Court decision. And does that mean that the threat of prosecution has passed? Does that mean the hospitals in Alabama will say, okay, I guess everything's good and they're going to practice IVF again? Or does that mean like a local DA could just prosecute? Does the decision from the Alabama DOJ change anything, or is the threat still there?
Tim, thanks for the call. Now, I admit I hadn't seen that from the Alabama's Department of Justice. What do we know about the current state of in vitro fertilization and how it will be affected in Alabama by this ruling?
It's a great question, Tim. The Alabama Supreme Court ruling hasn't outlawed IVF or made it illegal, but at least three clinics have closed when I last checked because they need to assess their civil and criminal liability based on the ruling. So the attorney general can decide not to prosecute certain crimes, but that is an elected position that will change. And also, these three clinics can't depend upon what he's saying in a speech. These are courts. They've made a decision. And I think it's very, very complicated. The court didn't give guidance onto what happens to the embryos that are now frozen, and these clinics must decide what to do.
Thanks for the call, Tim. And Susan, we should talk through the IVF process briefly to see how this has an effect. Why are, if somebody's going through in vitro fertilization, we end up with multiple embryos created, some frozen? Can you talk us through why that is?
Yeah, in the standard of care is to create embryos and to implant them. It's a difficult task to extract the eggs, et cetera. So the idea is to implant a certain number that could come to a pregnancy, and the others are reserved because it's not likely for it to take the first time. It is possible to have in vitro IVF without reserving frozen embryos, and there are other countries that do that. That was mentioned in one of the concurrences. There are ways for these clinics to adapt, but I should say that one in four married women in the United States, ages 15 to 49, without prior births, have difficulty getting pregnant, and IVF accounts for 1 to 2% of the nation's births annually. That's about 92,000 births. So this affects many people in the United States.
Talking to Susan Liebel from St. Joseph's University about an Alabama State Supreme Court ruling on frozen embryos, saying in effect they are constitutionally children. Susan, this obviously has big implications for in vitro fertilization. You touched on earlier concerns that this potentially extending personhood to embryos, frozen or otherwise, could have a lot of big impacts way beyond fertilization and infertility treatment.
Yeah, I mean, this not only affects things like rape treatment, like Plan B, because any hormonal birth control that prevents pregnancy by blocking the implantation of a fertilized egg could be outlawed in Alabama. But this also affects the autonomy of anyone with a womb, and it potentially could reduce many women to second-class citizenship. If embryos have the same rights as all people, then pregnant people might be monitored by the government during their pregnancies. And this was a tension raised by Justice Sandra Day O'Connor in the Casey case in 1992. She said it would be intolerable for women to be told you can't eat that food or you can't have that cigarette because somehow the state would have the right to protect an embryo or a fetus. This case, it's very hard to explain just how extreme it is in so many ways. Its language and also the ways in which it abuses this idea that we have that courts will, with a light hand, interpret the laws that are passed by the legislature. This is an 1872 law about wrongful death of minors. It never could have imagined frozen embryos in 1872. And that was pointed out by some of the justices who agreed with the majority opinion. So we have the creation of a precedent. This is what I think is important about Tim's question, that can be used by others now and quoted. And that's how our law works. One person says something, and then we see whether other courts will support it going forward.
That takes me to a big question. This is in Alabama for now. Do you think it's likely that similar challenges will be raised in other state court systems and or the federal court system?
We often focus on the rulings of the U.S. Supreme Court, but award-winning research by scholars at Penn State and WashU in St. Louis have demonstrated that state courts have a far greater impact on the lives of people. And this is a superb example. Citizens in all states should pay careful attention to proposed amendments to their state constitutions and any laws proposed that affect their liberty and rights as parents, pregnant people, or individuals. Right now, there isn't another state that has this combination of an 1872 act and a very recent amendment to the Constitution that declares the sanctity of life in Alabama. That is what the majority used, was this combination of something that the voters passed in 2018 and something that Dobbs turned into a different kind of amendment to their constitution. It enabled them now to make this decision.
And very briefly, Susan, what are you watching for next in the aftermath of this ruling?
I'm going to be watching for the ways in which candidates for the presidency react to it. Nikki Haley said that frozen embryos are babies. I think that's very telling. I'm going to be watching for how the parties, how leaders in both parties in the Senate and the House speak about this, whether they treat it as something that is outside the pale, too much Christianity in the law, or too radical an idea. And also see if other states begin to pass amendments to their constitutions that try to preserve people's rights against a decision, something like this.
Susan, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you so much, Rob.
That's Susan Liebel, professor of political science at St. Joseph's University. She talked to us about the Alabama Supreme Court ruling effectively granting frozen embryos, especially those used in vitro fertilization, effective personhood. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.